Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 320, episode 3. What the fuck? Hey, we're rusty. Season 320, episode 3 of Dirt Daily Zeitgeist. Production of iHeartRadio. He back. Oh, this is a podcast where we take a deep dive into American shared consciousness, and it is Wednesday, January 10th, 2024.
Yep.
110.
You know what that is. 110. Not just a great freeway, but also the day we celebrate Houseplant. It's Houseplant Appreciation
Houseplant
Day.
Houseplant Appreciation.
It's National Oysters Rockefeller Day. It's also National Cut Your Energy Cost Day, which feels
feels like
some weird shit. They're like, just
cut it down.
Switch to twisty light bulbs rather than demanding, you know, that the grid is updated so we can use more renewables. I don't know. National Bittersweet Chocolate Day. And also Save the Eagles Day. I don't know if that is for our nation or fans of Philadelphia.
I think
it's
about the Philadelphia Eagles and the season they're having. They're really a slide, folks.
Are they?
Folks.
Are they even in the playoffs? Are they even in that game?
Yeah, they made it to the playoffs, but they are like in free fall. These Eagles, not flying.
Free falling. Hey, we love it.
Free falling. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. I hate this shingle pack. Why'd you put my bacon in that? I hate this shingle pack. Why'd you put that bacon in that? That is courtesy of Fighter of the Nightman to the tune of Kush by Dre and Snoop. A song that I don't think I'd ever heard somehow. But yeah, land speed record for turnaround on an AKA. I talked shit about bacon shingle packaging on yesterday's episode. And that shit was up on the Discord.
Wait, so like, what? You don't? Yeah, the shingle packing. That's I know what you mean. Like, wait, as opposed to what? How else are you gonna get it when they just put the one block that's pre-sliced and you just peel them
off?
So
I was pitching roll of tape. Just do it like a roll of tape.
Ugh.
Just get a piece off at a time.
I know, no, that's disgusting.
Yo, that's where it gets so stretched out. No.
But the shingle pack is, I want it to be resealable. You know?
Yeah.
It's just, it's a fucking mess in there.
Yeah, like, that's true.
I feel like they're like one away. Like the shingle pack overall, fine. It's okay to be in that form. But like, it's just, it gets so loose and messy.
Yeah, well, I think
it's flopping.
I think it's kind of like they do that so you're convinced there's more bacon in there than there actually is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because whenever you see it like in the brick that's sliced, you're like, oh shit, that's a lot or that's a little. But see, when you fan it out like that, that's like when you have just like a little bit of money. You're like, what if I fan it out?
Though? Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Because I can't hold it as like a fucking brick. So I'm like, let me fan that out so you can see that there's about 13 bills here.
Money fan. Not to be confused with money phone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and what we want is a bacon phone. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Give me a bacon phone. Yeah. They say it's also because they want to show off the red part. Because most of it is fat and everybody, which is good. That's what makes it good, but it's not the thing that looks appetizing. So the shingle pack with the little window packaging allows them to show off the lean protein and make the bacon seem leaner than it actually is.
Come on, don't kid yourself, y'all. You're not there for the fucking lean protein.
Exactly. Anyways, I'm thrilled to be joined once again by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Yes, I'm back. No, my AKA today is Jet Lag Joe Namath, because I could care less about my sleep struggling right now because I cannot sleep. But you can hear the delirium in my voice. I'm back. I'm very energized. It's been very interesting to watch just the world unfold from a foreign, just the distance of being in Asia, and also being haunted by like how chaotic my actual media intake is, because I was sort of like on a media detox, like because you're going around, you're showing your kids shit like that, and I just remember like opening YouTube like randomly and just seeing like the kinds of videos that like the algorithm was like, this is the kind of shit you're watching, and I was like, it just felt like it was just screams coming from my laptop. Like, I was like, oh no,
this howling is void.
Yeah. I'm trying to maintain some semblance of that, obviously, while still being able to like be on top of everything that happens. But I am realizing that I can actually go after a different kind of media in my off time. That isn't nearly like when I'm entertaining myself. I don't have to entertain myself with people getting knocked the fuck out. Or people screaming at each other, which just happens on my feed all the time.
Restful. They're taking a nice rest. Well, Miles, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a brilliant comedian, writer, producer.
Yes.
You can find in the book, We Had a Little Real Estate Problem, The Unheralded Story of Native Americans and Comedy. She's the host and producer of the extremely popular all-native stand-up comedy show, Good Medicine Comedy, headed to New York in February.
Boop. Yeah.
Boop, boop, boop.
Check out those dates. It's Jackie Kalia!
Jackie!
Woo! Hello! So excited to be back.
So good to have you back.
Oh, it's always a pleasure.
I'm so happy it's you today. You know,
when
I come back, I'm like, it's Jackie. Yes, Jackie.
Yes. You can be jet lagged and hang around Jackie.
Yeah,
you know?
Jet lagged Jackie.
You come as you are.
Jet lagged
Jackie. Jet lagged Joe Namath is so good.
That's a good one. That's a great one, jet lagged Joe Namath.
I care less about the team struggling.
About my circadian rhythm struggling. I started using an app that was built like to be like NASA people use it. And like, while there is some useful things in it, part of me is like, this could have been a Reddit post that I followed.
NASA people use cocaine, according to this Wall Street Journal Elon Musk article. Yeah.
Getting spaced. Mm-hmm.
Their number one partner for transporting astronauts to the space station uses cocaine.
Oh, okay. Shit. Okay.
I the NASA brand is very strong.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I found out that like 26 minutes is deemed by NASA astronauts to be the ideal nap length. And I set my alarm for 26 minutes for like a year before I was like, that actually doesn't work for me. Like sometimes I need 13 minutes.
I'm actually having health problems.
But yeah, the NASA brand, for some reason, we're like, I want to sleep like an astronaut.
Yeah. Well, their whole thing is like, we use these principles to help astronauts like get their circadian rhythms like back in order once they come back from space and shit like that, where it's not like, you know, a night and day kind of environment. So I'm like, oh, okay. But like a lot of it just sort of like, I mean, it's helpful in that it'll tell you, don't use caffeine at these times. Actually use caffeine at these times. Or be like, you need fucking sunlight right now. Don't wear fucking sunglasses because it's essential for your brain to understand that it's daytime because you're moving time zones.
Yeah, that was something I just started hearing. The like people talking about regulating when you're wearing sunglasses.
Yeah.
I have noticed like I can't sometimes, it's like too sleepy. I'm too sleepy to wear sunglasses.
Yeah. Wait, what do you mean?
It's bright outside
and you're like, no, I'm sleepy. I don't want sunglasses.
No, I need the sunlight to wake my ass up.
Yeah.
I need to like know that it's daytime and bright out.
Yeah.
I like to look right at the sun. That's how I know I'm alive.
Just eyes wide open, just tears streaming down your face.
Get it in there. Yeah. If I'm tearing, I know that I'm getting the vitamin D I need, you know?
Yeah. Fuck what my optometrist and ophthalmologist say.
Fuck what NASA says. We're looking right at the sun. Yeah, that's what we're doing over here.
Yeah. But I mean, like, it's interesting because it gives you like little sort of nuggets of like being like, this is why it's important to have sun here, et cetera, et cetera. So right now I'm in my caffeine use phase of the day, which I don't normally drink caffeine, but I've been, you know, just having some tea here and there and I'll have some coffee later to keep this thing going because we got 9 shows to record.
But you're impervious. You're
sorry, you have 9?
No, I'm
we just do 9 on Tuesdays real quick. Yeah. We have 9 every week, I think. So
you guys are doing
it. That's real.
I have my own podcast and I record 1 episode a season.
There you go.
That's
we got
good.
4.
I want to be on
we're,
that
we're getting
that
fall shit. And
we would just do a very long episode.
Yes.
If we did that, could you imagine, Jack, we have to cram like 3 months worth of news into one episode?
Into one ep.
Yeah, it's like it's a 36-hour episode.
There you go.
just hot
for long drives.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, Jackie, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in one moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of things we may or may not be talking about, just pending vibes. We may be talking about Elon Musk's drug use scare. His board is concerned that his erratic behavior is driven by drug use. And then on that subject, we'll talk about Sober January, which is something I hear people talking about. Sober Butt January.
That's the new one. Yeah.
That's the new one. We're going to talk about the NRA grift because that trial is kicking off. And Wayne LaPierre just stepped down as the head of the NRA. Did I say NPR before?
NRA. Yeah.
NRA. Yeah, NRA's grift is real, and it's barely concealed. It's not; they're not even trying to hide that shit.
I know. They're like, we'll got that thing on us, but it's on a strap for everyone.
Exactly.
To see.
Oh, you're gonna say something?
Outward corruption. Yeah.
All of that, plenty more. But first, Jackie, we do like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that's real about who you are?
I just searched fee-fi-fo-fum. And you know that saying? I know, it's ridiculous.
Wait,
it's ridiculous.
I smell the blood of an Englishman?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Fee, fi, fo, fum. Exactly. That's exactly what it is. I saw Ali Wong right before Christmas, and there's this hilarious joke. I'm not going to give it away, obviously, because she's working on that. But it was so funny, and my friends and I have just been saying it all fucking week. And
fee, fi, fo. I say that shit all the time with my kids.
But I was like, what is this? Like, why are we saying this? So I had to Google it. It's obviously from England, and or it's from Britain. Apparently, like, I don't know, in 1500, it used to be Gaelic, basically saying there's like a tasty British man somewhere around here.
that sounds like us. That sounds like the Irish always just eating the British.
Yeah.
Victimizing the British, Irish, you know?
Absolutely. It's a good diet. It's really heavy in fiber, not really good on spices.
No way are they projecting on the Irish.
Yeah, I know. Because they'll eat us. They'll eat us. Why?
Oh my God, they'll eat us.
I don't
That's
know.
Why we have to eat all their potatoes and
we didn't even
them.
Do nothing. We
oh
didn't even
God.
Do nothing.
But fee-fi-fo-fum is just a fucking great opener.
Wait,
like what? What a
to
dope
clarify,
thing to
could you just say fee-fi-fo-fum and you knew like, ooh, there's something tasty around? Is
that's
that like
the
kind of deal?
That's the idea because it's from Jack and the Beanstalk, and so it's like I smell the bones of an Englishman. I don't know. There's like a whole rhyme kind of situation that happens, but the idea is that
I smell the blood is the one that I always heard growing up, that's like scary to think of something, but that also true. Like mosquitoes can smell your blood. So that's a real piece of like
real
horror
science.
Movie fact from nature that made it into my childhood brain.
So that's what I was looking up. It's a hilarious joke, but I can't say more because I don't want to give it away.
I appreciate
that. Yeah, but it was so good to see her because she's reflecting on like her divorce and stuff like that and sort of like her new boo, which you guys probably saw.
Who's her new
Hader?
Oh God, Bill Hader. The two of them just like creatively are very powerhouses.
Really? Hader Wong? Okay.
Hader Wong?
Yes.
Hader Wong Dynasty?
Hader Wong Dynasty.
Goodness. I didn't know. I'm so behind. I'm like, what
are you
happened?
Really that behind?
You didn't know?
You didn't know about
you
this.
Don't know?
I look, Miles, your guns I put are my brain down, on friend. Pause like right before Christmas, and then I got back. I'm like, what's going on? Like Don Lemon.
I mean, this
is
like years old.
Kicking it.
And we've talked about it on the show before, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Look, like I said, I'm jet lagged Joe Namath, okay? My circadian rhythms are all fucked up. I don't know what's going on. But
you
I do like, up. With that rhyme, though, it's like, if you said it, like, in America, it would be fee-fi-fo-fum, I smell the blood of an Englishman. But like, yeah. I feel like as kids, it was always read to us as Englishman. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, we say it like that. Englishman. I smell the blood of an Englishman. Yeah.
I went on a date with Olivia Munn.
There it is.
There's all ways to approach that
We've all been there. Yeah. What? Another comedy super couple, you know?
Another. Yeah. She's so hot. She's killing
Is Fee-Fi-Fo-Fum serving cunt? Like, that's the question that I think we all need to...
Fee-Fi-Fo-Fum. This nursery rhyme is serving
cunt. Okay, now someone's going to pick that up and do it. It's got. I want to see a drag performance where Fee-Fi-Fo-Fum is the opening line.
Right,
and then
right.
you, like, see someone, you know...
And it's like, cunt, cunt, cunt. Cunt,
exactly. Cunt.
Yeah.
And it goes fee fee fi fi fo fo fum. And it's just like dun dun dun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Serving
exactly.
Fee fi fo fum. Yeah. I can already see. I already see the. This is taking over all the ball battles. We can see
there
it happening
is.
Already.
This
there
is just
it
a
is.
Great opener, though.
Oh,
what
beautiful.
Is something you think is overrated?
Grad school. Grad school's overrated, guys. I'm. you might be jet lagged, Joe Namath. I am just over it. I went to grad school about a decade ago, and I'm still paying on it. And that's the part that like really bums me out. And I really have a big issue with the Department of Education. You guys suck. The Department of Education, like I was working for local government for a decade, basically, so that I could write off the remainder of my student loan debt. And I'm not there yet. I'm just shy of being able to write it off. And so. It's just a bummer, like, how much it dictates your life when you take on student loan debt. Like, if I were to get married, for example, all of a sudden my income goes up and now the student, you know, the Department of, basically, the student loans will charge me more monthly. It's just such a monkey on my back, a fucking thorn in my side. And I'm just like, why did I go? I do comedy now. What the fuck was I? Like, I did a whole, you know, degree in
urban
planning.
You didn't go to stand-up? You didn't get a PhD in stand-up comedy?
I did not. I didn't go to clown college and go as far as I could go with all their classes. No, I just, anyway, so I'm at a point right now where if anyone is telling me that they're considering grad school, I want to sit them down and be like, okay. You know, let's really talk about why you want to do this, because it's such a financial commitment. And I know plenty of people who went to grad school for whatever. Maybe they went to law school. Maybe they went to go get an MSW and they're not even working in those areas anymore.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, I don't know. I was raised on like education is the way to like access, you know, like. You know, it's a way to build generational wealth and all
upward
these different
mobility.
Things like exactly upward mobility. Exactly. And I just feel like on the receiving end of like these 7%, you know, like APRs for my student loans, I'm just like, it's fucked, man, because once you get it, once you go into to get a professional degree, they don't really have a lot of like financial aid available.
Right.
When you're doing undergrad and you're getting your BA or something like that, yeah, sure, there's a lot of resources. But the moment you're like getting a professional degree, which is what I did, a master's in urban planning, it becomes just like, it's like, oh, well, you're going to make money in this industry, so we're not really going to help you out.
Right.
So there's just less resources available. So anyway, I'm just like, people out here are like thinking it's another way towards mobility. And I'm like, hey, why don't we talk about this? It's a lot of money.
Like,
and I'm on that.
Yeah, it's hard to float upward when you are weighed down with debt.
Ooh,
right. mm-hmm. Like that motion can be completely stifled by that. When you got, because like I have friends who are in the same thing where like they had a career and something they felt really passionate about. And then at a certain point, they're like, you know, like I'm actually really into this completely other thing. Like I only got a BA in history because like same thing. Like my family was like, you have to get, you don't know what this world could bring you. But if you have this degree, like more doors can open. But in the back of my mind, I always knew I was going to do something with just being creative or being in comedy or something like that. So it never struck me to keep going with that. For you, did you like have that in your mind? Like maybe I'll do something where you are really focused. You're like, no, this is it. I'm like urban planning. This is where I'm going. This will be my life. And then things changed, or how did that play out for you?
Yeah. I mean, I found myself good at what I did. You know, that's the problem. Like the moment that you're good at something, especially if you're in local government, everybody like you get raises, you get like, so I was doing really well in my career. I was constantly, you know, getting raises, getting promoted, but I was just disconnected from it. And I would go do like an amazing show and get like a standing ovation. Like I would just produce my own shit. And then I would go back to work on Monday like, oh, like this is so lame. Like I'm sending emails and writing I'm working on a PowerPoint right now.
Right.
And I just felt so disconnected to the mission, you know, and I'm as a producer and as a creative, I definitely support and want to continue supporting small businesses. That's still part of like my DNA, you know, but mm-hmm. like I don't necessarily need to be the person working on that like I had been for so long. So
yeah.
I don't know. I feel like it's one of those things where I think a lot of people jumped into grad school, especially like right after 08, because they were like, well, the job market sucks right now. We're in the middle of a recession. That's what I did. I started grad school in 2010. The job market was
like, we're not ready. Actually, could you go back? We're not ready. Don't come out now. Yeah.
So I was like, let me get skilled up real quick and let me go ass up in debt. And then skilled up. Ass up, feet, five, four, bump, serving cunt.
Mother. Yeah. We actually just had somebody on to talk about the sandwich generation, how a lot of Americans are going to be taking care of their elderly relatives and young people at the same time, and the dependency ratio of it all. But Diana Law, her overrated was just like going to college in general, because, you know, she spends all this time looking at people's finances and like the financial situation that they find themselves in towards the end of, you know, it, like at these difficult, volatile times of their lives. And being in debt is really not what you need at those times.
So, yeah.
No, not at all. And they went around saying that like student loan debt is good debt. And back in 2019, I was like seriously considering buying a condo. I was like, all right, let's go do this. And the broker ran my numbers and was like, hey, you're in great shape. You've got great credit and you have good income and a steady job, all that fun stuff. Yeah, your student loan debt is like way too high. So your debt to income ratio is just not good.
Right.
So go ahead and pay off some debt and get back to me. And I'm like, bro.
But then I can't get the...
Yeah. So anyway, I'm just bitter. And the stupid U.S. Department of the Federal Department of Education was like, student loans are back to being paid. You're on track. Good job. You know, and I'm like, can I get this written off already? I'm done. I'm tired.
Yeah.
I just want to go joke for a living. You know what I mean? Like, let me just go tell jokes for a living. Get off my ass. So anyway, that's me. Think really, really hard, guys, if you do want to go to grad school. Like, let's talk about what this really is like paying it back, because I'm 10 years out and shouldered with debt. My God. Yeah. Anyway.
Think about it as though it's a thing that costs that much money. You know, it's
it
not
does.
Magic money. It is actually. Yeah.
I think it's just so important, like just in general for young people to like really kind of take the time to think about like what you want to do. Because again, especially for elder geriatric millennials like us, we were fed a steady fucking diet of like, oh, you want the fucking car? Oh, you want a house? Oh, you want that life? You got to go to college. You got to go get this kind of degree, that kind of degree. And there are many other ways to obtain like an income that can provide you a life that you want. And then at a certain point, like you may get disillusioned, as I was, because I graduated in 2007 from college. And I was like, what the fuck is all this shit about? Like, like, what the fuck was it all for? And it took a while for me to like embrace what I really wanted to do. So give yourself some time if you can. I know it's not easy and that's not all a possibility for everybody, but so much of that is being like attuned.
And I just want to add one more layer to that. You brought that up and I remembered, Miles. You know, I grew up in a working class community in the Bay, and like for communities of color, it's always sort of touted as this way of social mobility, you know? And it's this like education is like this thing. But the reality of the situation is, unless you have family support, like unless there's like financial support, like you're essentially taking out all this debt on your own, you know? And so, you know, college can cost 120 plus thousand depending on. So it's one of these things where it's like, hey, you're a person of color and you want to like increase your chances of economic mobility in future, like go ahead and go to school. But the systems are created for people who have support. And if you don't have that, you will be.
Very
and so I think there's like so many, like I feel like there's a lot of elder millennials like myself that are like, we got sold that and we're still paying for it, you know? And so that's something also to consider, that it's also implicating communities of color even more so. So anyway, that's my downer, guys. Sorry, starting off the new year with some bitterness.
That's actually one of the least downer things that could be uttered about this year so far. So we're doing great.
We're doing great.
What is something you think is underrated?
This is really silly, but I was watching a steady diet of all these holiday rom-coms, and I just love the holiday. And I think like people don't talk about it enough. They're always in conversations about Love Actually, And the holiday is just sweet and lovely. And it's this, I don't know, I think it came out in 2006.
2006.
So, yeah.
Kate Winslet.
Cameron Diaz. Wow. Yeah. And Jude motherfucking Law. Okay.
Yeah. Say his name right.
Exactly. Say
we
his
said
name
Cameron
right.
Cameron Diaz and Jude motherfucking Law.
Oh, it's just a sweet movie. And I love that the love story. So basically, Kate Winslet is living in England in love with a man. He's a dick and he ends up getting engaged and doesn't tell her what's happening. So she's all devastated because this is the man she loves who doesn't love her back. Mm-hmm. And then Cameron Diaz finds out her boyfriend is cheating on her. Anyway, they do this like housing swap thing, which doesn't check out safety wise, but it was, you know, for the premise of the movie. But they swap houses and then they fall in love while they're swapping houses. So Kate Winslet goes to Los Angeles and then Cameron Diaz goes to this little cozy cottage in England and falls in love with the brother of the house swap lady. It's really sweet. Jack Black is in it. There's like a beautiful musical score sort of theme that underwrites the whole thing. And what I loved the most about it was Kate Winslet's neighbor is this elderly screenwriter from like the heydays of like the golden Hollywood type of times. And he's a sweet old man. And so I love how her love story is really about finding love through sort of helping some elderly man kind of find his confidence. Anyway, I was like, no one talks about this movie and it's great. So
I saw so many write-ups actually about the holiday this year.
Really? Okay. Maybe people
yeah, because everyone
on it.
Was like,
okay.
Shut the fuck up about Love Actually. There's a new fucking cunt in town. And it's the fucking holiday. And I think, and a lot of people were talking about just the huge uptick in interest from like Gen Z and like younger millennials. And then also other people being like, it's actually mid as fuck. So like people, like there's like, again, it's basically, I think a lot of people are saying it's starting to replace Love Actually as being a movie you can fucking tug and pull and argue about over. But I get it. Like, you know, people, we love the nostalgia. We love.
I've never seen it. I'm going to have to see it.
You got to watch it. It's really sweet. I mean, there are some annoying tropey things with the women, but whatever. Not that I'm going to look past it, but like, I'm not looking to this to like set an example for what women should be doing in relationship. But, you know, it's just, it's silly and fun. And the thing is that Cameron Diaz's character can't cry. And they set up that thing as like her issue at the start of the movie.
She's
a woman. Hollywood lady.
What?
Who can't cry.
No, she's got to be able to cry.
Well, if she finds the love of her life, maybe she will. Dun, dun, dun.
There
it's
is.
Sweet. It's cute. That's I cute. Like it a lot. And I was just like, this movie is so solid.
And they invented Airbnb before Airbnb
they did
was a thing.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, the little house swap.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about It's Been Too Long, my man, Elon Musk.
Oh, boy. You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
And we're back.
We're back.
The richest human being on the planet, richest person maybe in the history of the planet, Elon Musk. There's a Wall Street Journal article detailing his like drug use concerns by his board that he's using drugs, but they report very confidently that he's like constantly going to parties and like doing LSD and cocaine, and It's kind of weird to like see people talk about an adult like this and be like, we think he's doing drugs. Like it was really like written in the like hushed tones of like a high school gossip, like a mom in high school, like, you know, mother of a high school student is like,
right.
I think they're doing drugs at these parties.
Are they? You can tell me. I'm a cool mom.
Tell me. People close to Musk, who is now 52, which that is necessary to point out, said his drug use is ongoing, especially his consumption of ketamine, which is becoming very popular. Illegal drug use would likely be a violation of federal policies that could jeopardize SpaceX's billions of dollars in government contracts.
Oh my God.
Musk is intrinsic to the value of his companies, potentially putting at risk around $1 trillion in assets held by investors. Tens of thousands of jobs and big parts of the U.S. space program. His response was like, I've been getting... It reminded me actually of like when Lance Armstrong, like when people were like, we think he might be doing like illegally doping.
Yeah, right.
And he was like, yeah, I'll tell you what I've been on. You think I've been on drugs? I've been on my rear end on the bike every morning working my butt off.
Oh my God.
Because Elon Musk was like, they haven't found a trace of any drug in my system for all 3 years since I smoked. Like, I guess when he smoked a joint on the Joe Rogan show, it was like a big deal. Like, SpaceX had to like take all these meetings with NASA. And NASA was like, are you guys like a drug company? Is that what you are?
We're drug free.
And so
the way to be.
He started having to like do random drug tests. So that
But like from his own company, like please.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I haven't popped on a single drug test the company that I own gave me that could put trillions of dollars at risk. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? No.
No way he could have fooled a random drug test issued by his company to him, the richest, most powerful man in the world, by a number of people who would stand to lose a fortune if he failed. No.
Right?
That seems foolproof to me. I can't see how he would. It's like, yeah.
Oh my God. It's just, but also, like, it's the Wall Street Journal, too. So, you know, there's like this element of financial hit piece where it's like people who want Musk out of these companies, too, are like being like, hey, I don't know. Is this your king? Maybe if he left the company, that might be better because he's putting $1 trillion at risk.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah. And I'm like, I'm not here to side with Elon Musk at all, but it's interesting to see how
I feel like this article is wildly unfair to drugs.
Right.
Because he does like such whack shit on drugs. Like the article like talks about this meeting. Seriously, leave drugs alone. Elon Musk, first of all, leave drugs alone because you're going to lose a lot of people their jobs. But there is this one good story where they say people around Musk long ago became accustomed to his volatile behavior. Some SpaceX executives who had long worked with him, however, noticed a change at a company event in late 2017. Hundreds of SpaceX employees gathered around mission control at the rocket company's headquarters in Hawthorne, California, in anticipation of Musk, who was nearly an hour late to arrive at the all-hands meeting about the company's latest rocket. When he finally took the stage, Musk was strangely incomprehensible at times. He slurred his words and rambled for about 15 minutes, according to executives in attendance, and referred repeatedly to SpaceX's big Falcon rocket prototype, which was known as BFR, as big fucking rocket.
Oh, my God.
So, but
well, if you like big fucking rocket, yeah, great. What,
yeah.
Dude, are you saying? Okay, okay. Look, oh, sure, you waited an hour. People who went to see Lauryn Hill had to wait a lot longer than that.
Exactly.
You know
right.
what I mean?
Exactly.
So let's keep things in perspective.
Again, it's just like such boring shit to do well on drugs. He like gets high and makes terrible jokes and speculates about stuff to do with like where he's going to put his money.
It's right.
It's just like, bro. Man,
yeah, how
like,
boring. I mean, it's yeah. giving Succession in that it's like planting an idea out there, like, you know, like we want to, you know, like it's kind of shaping the I'm not in defense of Elon at all, by the way.
No,
saying
no,
that,
no. Right.
But like it's really shaping this narrative of like, oh, no, he's incomprehensible and all. It's interesting. I'm here for it, actually. And I think it's hilarious that he like gets high and then goes to an all hands on deck meeting. Like, how fucking
yeah.
lame is
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
Most people want to go out and party and he's like, no, let's go talk yeah. about this big fucking rocket.
Right.
It's like drugs just give you the same. Drugs don't change your personality. They just give you the same personality, just like more so.
Right.
You
oh,
know,
God,
and like he has
out,
a
yeah.
bad personality. He has like a terrible sense of humor. And so he just like is doubling and tripling down on all of those things, like when he's on drugs. And it's
that's got to be really unfun to be around him, though, honestly, when he's on drugs. Like, it's like, oh, God, he's on drugs. Got to go. Bye.
I feel like I would probably have a fucking existential crisis being high yeah. near him. I'd be like, yo, this no. guy's a fucking destroyer of worlds. And yeah. like his jokes are fucking not funny. Like, and he's trying to get me to laugh. And like, I don't, and I'm like fake laughing because I don't know what the fuck else. I don't know how the fuck I got here. Oh, Elon.
Elon.
Yeah, it would send people down. Yeah, they would have a bad trip.
Yeah, could you imagine
sure.
doing LSD with Elon Musk?
Fuck no. Can you imagine?
I would. There's no way. I mean, that's the other thing is like, how the fuck, again, no one of our way of thinking would ever be like, yeah. And then, you know, he brought out some tabs of acid and I said, yeah, fuck it. Like, let's just.
Yeah, no. fuck it, man. With Elon Musk. Fucking, I mean, when are you going to get the chance to do acid with Elon fucking Musk? Am
yeah,
I right,
dude.
Brother?
Dude,
anyways.
If I want to get dropped in the same friolator as the Musk man, dude, I'm fucking taking that chance.
He often emails company lieutenants in the middle of the night and hosts work meetings at midnight. Vacation is a strong word. For me, it is email with a view.
Ew.
Okay.
And then like that new Elon Musk biography talks about how he goes into like demon mode, where he like enters into a state of intense fury and frequently like lashes out at employees and executives. So
that's
cool,
that's
man. sounds fun.
Way to
that's
brand
like mental illness, actually.
Way to,
yeah. right?
Way to brand your abusive behavior is just demon mode. Trademark.
Yo, dude, I went full demon mode on their ass, bro.
You know how I go, bro. Oh, shit. My boy got beast mode. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I got demon mode.
Demon mode.
These kids talk about goblin mode. I got demon mode.
Yeah.
And it's just
really scary.
It's a lot of crying and
I threw a fucking iPad at my assistant's head like a frisbee. That motherfucker had to get 18 stitches on the back of their dome piece because I went straight demon mode.
Demon mode.
I think there's people who really think like, oh, it's a sign of brilliance that he
yeah.
is emotionally unwell and has
right.
outbursts.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. I mean, there hasn't been a CEO who openly like embraced the drug side of Rockstar, right? Like, and but that's how they're treated. So, like, I
yeah.
could see this being a new thing that, like, they're just being treated as if they can do no wrong, and that every like bad piece of behavior is like part of like their mystique, and especially him. So, like, I could see him ushering in this new horrible era of like CEOs not just like quietly being the worst human beings on earth, but like openly being
yeah.
that, and everyone just
yeah.
being like, oh shit, Branson's on one.
Oh, ugh. Dude, my boy just went demon mode and fucking cut like 14,000 jobs, bro. That was sick, doggy. But it's like, think about how like influential watching people smoke cigarettes was for like our
yeah.
generation and older.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, and then his behavior now, like whatever this is putting out there for younger people who hopefully don't aspire. I think most people probably turned off by him, like in his behavior. But just seeing how that will trickle down culturally. I mean, like, it's, I mean, we're already seeing it through the fucking website formerly known as X.
But yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's too much. He's doing way too much.
He's too much. Mm-hmm. All right. Maybe something you could look into that I'm hearing a lot about in the past week is Sober January.
Mm-hmm. Dry January, whatever you
Dry
want to call
January,
it.
Mm-hmm. Sober January, Sober Butt January.
Yeah, that's a new, not a new thing, but I feel like in the last 8-ish, 5-10 years, that's a very wide range I just quoted right there. But you see that more, like, because again, we know people abstain from drinking in January. They're like, gotta give my, you know, just give my, like, my liver a fucking break here, okay, in January. Yeah. And get the benefits, like, again, my liver being less strained, I can sleep better, and something called, like, mental clarity or whatever the fuck.
Right.
But in this, there's a Vice story that's certainly about the rise of the sober butt January. I'm sober, but I've been smoking weed and doing psychedelics.
And
that shit is okay.
Going to Elon Musk LSD parties in Mexico. Damn Mexico way.
And like most experts will tell you that like it is way better to not be fucked off the booze when taking drugs. Like combining the two is like, bro, that fuck that can. That'll really cause some problems, and that there are, you know, certain harm reduction benefits from transitioning off like regular alcohol use to cannabis. But I guess like my larger sort of question as I sit here and ponder things is, how are we like even defining like sort of sobriety these days? Like, because I know that we are like, we're talking about the like, you know, is it that we're talking about the original intent of something like a dry January, and that you shouldn't be drinking alcohol, you should be completely abstaining from any kind of mood altering or mind altering substances? Or is it just about like which thing what are we going for with this? And like, because I'm a regular smoker, okay, of the weed, but in Japan,
the weed,
but in Japan, that is a quick way to get in some serious shit. So it's no really? Problem
no, they
for me
do not fuck around with drugs.
No, they even hemmed Paul McCartney's ass up. They're like, we don't give a fuck what the fucking Beatles were. You were fucking around with
Hoodles?
Cannabis? No,
fuck
no.
Fuck out of here. Yeah.
The Pacalolo? No. But like, so for me, I was like, yeah, whatever. Like, I'm totally fine not having like THC or like having like sneak edibles or find a vape or some shit like that. And it didn't affect my mood or my sleep. In fact, I had the most vivid dreams I've had in a while and was able to like just recall them in the morning and just bore Her Majesty. I was like, yo, I just had this one dream. I was DJ Khaled was driving me around like in the tunnels of like some city.
Yo, DJ Khaled's in my dreams too.
Really? I was like,
what if DJ Khaled was like the Nicolas Cage
character? We were in a Rolls Royce and I was like, yo, you're driving a little too I was in the back like, yo, stop. Or like just random coworkers.
A metaphor
or things like
for
that.
What his music does to you, man.
Dude, I had a dream where I had to entertain a dining room full of people with a small dragon toy, like that was clearly made for a child, but I had to go around to all the guests and be like, ooh, it's like as I was entertaining my baby or some shit.
That's a
and
parent
people
dream
were like,
for sure.
Oh, this is brilliant. This is brilliant. And like, but I was so stressed about keeping the vibe up with the stress.
Media de arte.
Yeah.
This man is a genius.
But like, so, but the other thing, on the other hand, I started drinking alcohol every day. Like, yeah, I would have, yeah. I, yeah. Like, but not, I wasn't getting pissed or anything, but I, like, I don't normally drink during the week or usually most of the time, but I was having a beer, like, with all my meals or have, like, a highball and things like that. And just, like, a little nightcap put me in, some, like, a nice little beddy by mood. So then, in my mind, I'm like, what is my relationship to weed? Like, is, like, and by textbook definitions, am I dependent? And I looked at what the New York Times said, and they're like, how do you know if you've been smoking too much weed? And I'm not really ticking those boxes, except for the fact that my tolerance is very high. But then it just sort of got me just sort of thinking about when we talk about, like, we need to have a sober January, is that for, like, just for our own ego or for our own ability to say, like, we have some control, but then we immediately just sort of shift a lot of the way. It was like, sober, but I'd be off the mushrooms every day. Like, so again, and this is all part of like, we're definitely in this transitional period or just in a phase where, like, we talk about this on the show all the time, like more and more younger people are not that into getting absolutely fucked up drinking or flying off the cocaine like it's the 80s or something. And I'm like, what do all these things mean now, especially as we're in like an era where we have like deeper and more nuanced understandings of things like chemical or substance abuse, dependency, and like sobriety is sort of, I'm like, what does that all mean? And are
what
we,
does it
do
all
we need
mean?
To say these things, or is it just about taking care of ourselves? And not to knock anybody that's doing it, but like the terminology, we have so much terminology. I'm like, what is the thing we're ultimately trying to land on?
I mean, yeah. I think in the beginning, I think it was all about your liver, right? Because everybody was just talking about how much drinking they do in the holidays. I drink a ton during the holidays. There's always like a party or a get together. Yeah. And I don't, to be honest, like I don't really do drugs. I'm kind of lame in that way. But I'm surrounded because I'm a comic. I'm surrounded by people who are on one sometimes Yeah, exactly. And yeah, I'll be sitting next to someone who's about to go up who's like, yeah, I'm fully on shrooms right now, and they are hitting. And then I'm like, how the hell do you go out and get on that set? And, you know, people are just used to it, right?
Yeah.
But I'm so used to so many people who are like, oh, I'm sober, and then I fully will see them smoking weed. So it's like that like California sober,
California,
you know,
sobriety,
where you smoke, you know, you smoke on it too, and you'll be doing some lightweight, you know, shrooms, do a little bit of micro dosing on the weekends, that kind of thing. So I don't know. I'm not sober during January.
Yeah.
Cause I've had like my sister's birthdays at the beginning of the year. I've got a couple of birthdays in the month of January. So there's always outings and stuff. And I don't feel like I do enough. I drink enough to like necessitate me like taking a break.
That's
so
why I'm curious, like what, you know, cause like, Is it purely because like for some people it's like this gives like some semblance of control. It's like yeah and I can completely switch that off, but then I'd be doing ketamine all day.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm not trying to knock that because I wasn't smoking weed, but then I also found another thing that was kind of giving me a little bit of a good feeling. It wasn't to the point where I'm taking it where I'm like, yeah, man, I don't know where my baby is right now. You know what I mean? But like,
that sounds like a YP, babe.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds like a DBP, that baby problem. not mine.
Yeah, I used to quit drinking for Lent every once in a while. Usually it was because something, and like not because, it was just like my family when I was growing up would always give something up for Lent.
Sure.
And so that made sense because I was like sober curious, you know,
right.
And because sometimes I would smash my, like one time, I think the first time I did it, I had recently gotten too drunk and smashed my face on the pavement.
Ooh.
Oh, shit.
I tripped over a fire, what's it called?
Hydrant?
Fire hydrant?
Yeah. I tripped over a fire hydrant.
I tripped over one of those, my own shoes.
Basically, I tripped over a fire hydrant and didn't put my hands down to catch myself. Fucking smotched my face up, bro. And then was like at work. I was like, I was playing basketball.
Yeah.
And so then I quit drinking for like that Lent and would do it every once in a while. But then, you know, so I think it's a good thing to try out. Like now I don't drink at all for a number of years. And that's definitely was kind of the only thing for me. Like it got to a point where it wasn't really a decision. But I think I'm glad like I did that. So I knew how, like, I knew that I could like hang out with people without alcohol once it was time to get sober. Although when I was younger, I talk about like compensating for a thing. I became like a smoker when I would quit, like not a weed smoker, like a cigarette Ciggies. Smoker.
Ooh.
I mean, I lived in New York. It was
a lot of cigarette smoking out there.
A lot of cigarette smoking. But I was like that. This is what I'll do.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like I think
harm myself somehow.
No, because I think it is for people who like actually like are thinking like, man, maybe I should try to like this month drink less alcohol. Like I credit to you. Like if you find a way to sort of give yourself that kind of positive benefit or a little bit more control of your life, for sure. But then I feel like then there's just certain times when I think when I see this kind of thing, I'm like, are people just engaging with this sort of disingenuously too? Where it's like, I'm just not drinking alcohol. Like I'm just not drinking alcohol. But then, but also want to say, I'm doing like sober January. It's like, you don't got to do all that. Like, you know, if that's just what it is, then just that's what it is. But you don't have to bring in, like, I guess all this branding of it when if in fact you're like, you know, you can shift other things or what. I don't know. All that to say is I just found myself sort of like looking at the substances that I consume and like my relationships to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, I'm, you know, in any other case, you'd be like, people who are like people who really smoke weed like that, they're like, it fucks with their mood when they can't smoke weed. They're like, I can't fucking sleep. I don't fucking eat. But like I said, my dreams are amazing. I ate probably more than I even did when I'm smoking weed somehow, because I think this is what Japanese food does to you. And it's so cheap that I also had it. I also had another existential crisis when I realized how much we pay for fucking food in the United States. And it, many tears came out of the corners of my eyes just getting a pizza.
So the food is just cheaper, like good food and also cheaper.
Yes. And look, as I straddle both cultures, American and Japanese, I see the positives and negatives of both. Like, you know, where in Japan, it's very much a monoculture and you basically the individual is not celebrated. And in fact, you want to stifle that in service of like conformity. So that expresses itself in many other ways, where American is so individualistic. It's like we don't give a fuck about each other. And I'm like, well, you know, there's a balance there.
Yeah.
But then also, like, it's also like how things are sort of in Europe, too, where food and like getting together with people isn't something that people should be priced out of. Like, there's always going to be a place where you can afford to get together with your friends, get something to eat. If you want to have a beer or whatever, soda, whatever, all that shit is very affordable. And it's not like, man, like I can't even afford to go out anymore, like how things are in the US. So, for example, like you can get, like locally, there'll be like a person who just makes sushi, not like a restaurant, but just kind of has stuff that you can grab and go and like take to a friend's house and things like that. There was like a rice bowl, like a donburi, as we call it, that was on top 50% toro, okay? Fatty tuna. That's the tuna belly. And then the other half was ikura, the salmon roe. Those are kind of like higher priced items, like when you have sushi. That fucking bowl, like just to grab and go to go, was $8.
Ooh, that's nice.
What the fuck?
And like, if you saw it, like when Hermes and I were just looking at it again, we're like, man, this shit would be fucking $46 in LA.
Truly.
Like, oh, yeah.
And I get that there's like importing it and that cost, those costs associated. But even like when you go to like a regular restaurant, like things are like even something that's quote unquote higher end, the amount that you could actually consume for the amount that you're spending is like very different. And yeah, you just sort of begin to see those things. And you're like, God, we just like... consumers are just so like, there's just no regard for consumers and how they live their lives in the United States, because it's purely like there's no culture about being like, well, these things like should be available to everyone rather than like,
well, it's our fault, Miles.
Yeah,
it's our fault. They gave us too much money during the pandemic. Don't you remember?
Right. That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
That caused inflation. That caused eggs to be too expensive.
Right. And now we must make a line go hockey stick from hell up.
Yeah.
Like just right angle.
H-E double hockey stick.
That's what I'm saying.
That's a great investment.
There was I lived in England for a period of time, but this is like maybe a little over five years ago. And I remember going out to eat dinner out there was so freaking expensive. But it made sense, though, because when you went to the grocery stores, food was much more was much more cheaper. So when we'd go out, it was like a treat, you know. I remember we went to like a pizza, like I think it was even Pizza Hut or Round Table, some American chain,
and just
got a couple of things. And it was like $50, which
they have to get all that shit flown in because British people don't know how to make pizza.
Yeah, that's true. And they had to put effort on the spices. Anyway, it was one of those things where I feel like I'm in England now. Like
Black
I feel
pepper.
like, because we could go out and, you know, 2019 pre-pandemic, we could like go out and have a meal and it would be like, I don't know, $30 a person. Now I feel like every time I go to brunch, I'm dropping $50.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I'm like, what did I just buy? Like
a
I'm dropping,
date night
you know,
is $100.
It's like minimum. What? Like if you start adding drinks into it, you're looking at $120, $130. You know what I mean? So it's like I'm starting to feel like what it used to be like. Oh, it's a treat. It better be a treat because of how damn much money it is to be eating out these days.
Right.
You know,
and even groceries too. And this is something people talk about all the time. And like as when I got back and I turned my text message shit back on my cellular, like you know my cell plan or
you
whatever.
Cellular. You said
all
cellular.
The text, all my cellular data.
Elder millennial, real quick.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
All of my text messages came in. SMS messages had arrived on my cellular telephone.
There you
and
go.
The amount of fundraising fucking texts I was getting, like, this is the last chance for Joe Biden to stop Trump destroying democracy.
Yo,
when are people going to... And then like also seeing the headlines are like, people need to be reminded that like democracy is on the line in this election or whatever. I'm like, y'all are talking about the wrong fucking thing over and over again because like what we're talking about right now. Most people are not engaged with politics. Most people are engaged with, I got to go to the store and get fed. I got to feed my kids. And usually, if I didn't have money to go out and buy some shit or maybe go to a normal restaurant, then guess what? McDonald's, Taco Bell, whatever fast food was an easy way to get everybody fed. And now that shit is also fast food is now aspirational and shit.
Yeah. Yes.
And so to that end, when I see all that, I'm like, y'all are fucking missing the whole entire point here. You can keep talking about wage growth and shit like that, but people constantly talk about the shit I can get for $70 at the grocery store. It's laughable right now. Yeah. And I don't how come the people who have the suits on or standing at the podiums aren't really talking about that? They're talking about why don't you understand how good the economy is? What Trump will do in this democracy. I'm like, well, if this democracy and I'm voting for the people that are supposed to help make my life easier are not, then what the fuck is this thing? Just feels
That's what it is.
Capitalist smoke machine.
They're not in touch. They're so out of touch. That's why, again, back on my rant about the student loan shit, because Biden was like, oh, we're going to write that shit off. What the fuck did Biden do?
Cut to.
Nada.
Yeah.
Nada. So.
Yoink.
Yeah, exactly.
So, 2024 is going to be very fun. As I was saying in the predictions episode, all they're going to do is just scare the shit out of people and that they don't want to talk about how to fundamentally improve the country. They just want to talk about, that motherfucker, he's all bad. He's all bad.
Every day is going to be January 6th everywhere if you elect him.
Exactly.
That's what that's their
It's
main.
January 247, a.k.a. November 18th.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
And we're back. And so there's a civil trial being brought by New York Attorney General against the NRA and several of his executives that got underway, I guess, yesterday. So basically, the NRA was a bullshit.
Wait, hold on. What? Don't even finish it. Wait, all right, finish the sentence and then I'll be sure. Okay, go on.
So Wayne LaPierre, whose name you might recognize, like Wayne the head of the NRA, was using funds as his own personal piggy bank. He basically squandered money on luxury travel, other perks for himself and family members, charged with using NRA's funds for more than $11 million worth of private jet flights over the years.
Dang.
Awarded $135 million in NRA contracts to a vendor who then gave him access to a private yacht and free luxury vacations.
What is he, a Supreme Court justice? What the fuck is this? Living big. Okay.
So, I mean, you know, sometimes people ask the question, how do these people sleep at night? Very comfortably in luxury yachts.
Yeah, exactly. The fuck, 100-footer or whatever the fuck.
This motherfucker, like, doctoring invoices, retaliating against board members and executives who questioned his spending.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, just like all the shit. He's just like full on, like full blown, pedal to the metal corrupt dude. Set up a $17 million contract with the NRA if he were to exit the organization. So he did have to resign, sadly, a few days ago, and just got $17 million, presumably.
Yeah, he bowed out right before the trial began, too.
Yeah.
Very,
the trial
very
just started
timing.
Like yesterday, and a few days earlier, he bowed out. Not before putting, like, racking up a huge shopping spree at Zegna. Which he was like, hey, given the fact that I was the face of the brand, like, don't I have to look good?
I love that. I love those fucking arguments for overspending or spending, like, these people are like, I thought you were protecting the Second Amendment. They're like, yeah. Motherfucker, that's the name of my jet, okay? And I was protecting that shit with a new coat of wax because I don't like to land dusty. But then to say things like, well, I have to be on a jet or I have to be on a yacht because I can't do regular people shit because my organization is so corrupt and puts other people at risk constantly that people threaten me. So that's why I must travel in that sense. And it's like, okay, right. I can't do what y'all do. Okay. I like how also they called it how he was running, as they call it, a veritable Wayne's World.
Yeah, they did make it. Letitia James did make the call it. Yeah, for a while, the NRA became Wayne's World because his name's Wayne. He also suggested that a yacht vacation. This is even better than the Zegna shopping spree. The yacht vacation he went on was actually a security retreat because he was facing threats after mass shootings. So he had to go.
Oh, so not only can I not take regular vacations, but now to decompress after rah-rahing mass shootings, I'm like, I had to get my mind right on a yacht because people were so fucking mad at me.
Fly commercial? People are so mad at me about all the mass shootings that I'm partially responsible for. Anyway.
I hate that we can't go out to eat dinner because it's so damn expensive in this country and this fool is just like $11 million in PJs.
Killing it. Yeah.
Literally. Yeah.
Wow. Well, that gives us something to aspire for, kids. You know?
Yeah.
Shouldn't have gone to college. I should have just been a Wayne LaPierre type. Oh, it's not too late. It's not too late for my right word turn.
But it does seem like he might have been a overall like good thing for the world because he was like so fucking corrupt. And now it feels like they're going to be able to make the NRA hopefully just like, you know, civil suit the NRA out of existence.
Yeah. They'll be Pan Am Airlines.
Right. Yeah.
You know, where people look back and like, remember that shit?
Remember Pan Am?
Yeah. And people like ironically are like, dude, look at this like NRA shirt I found.
Right. That would be great. I doubt, like, I'm sure that there's enough energy on the right to like
something else will fill the void instantly. That's how it always works usually.
All right. That is going to do it for today's episode. Jackie, such a pleasure having you
on
the show, as always. Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
Oh, yeah. You guys can find me at Jackie Comedy on Instagram. That's where I'm mostly at. Actually, I'm at Jackie Comedy on all things, actually.
Okay.
But yeah, Instagram is where I where I just live. I'm always on that damn
incredible
thing.
SEO. You got that shit. Early.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's funny because people can't spell my last name, so there was no way I was going to try to use that. I'm like, no one's going to find me,
right?
So I had to just Jackie Comedy it. But Yeah. But yeah, you guys can find me there. And you can find me in New York City next month. I will be there hosting and producing Good Medicine. We're debuting at the Perlman Performing Arts Center, which is the new theater at the World Trade Center. It just opened in September, actually. So packnyc.org, get your tickets. It's going to be so fun. All native lineup. We've got Jana Schmieding. You guys have seen her on Reservation Dogs. She plays Bev, which is a hilarious character. You guys should catch the show. We've got Bobby Wilson, also from Res Dogs. Ryan Bahi, hilarious, and was a Just for Laughs new face. And Adrian Talpa, plus
favorite
me.
Favorite of
hosting.
Our listeners.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Brian Bahi is amazing. Love him. Love him.
Great. And is there a work of media that you've been enjoying?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Jeremy Allen White in Calvin Klein. I have a couple of group chats, and we've just been sharing all of his photos the last couple of days. So
why? I don't get it. What's
ripped.
So cool?
Something's wrong with his stomach, I think.
Yeah, he's got like little things in there.
There's like all these ripples on there.
You guys are just haters. Don't hate. Don't hate. Just appreciate.
Oh, those are abs? My bad. I just didn't know what the fuck that was.
Oh my God. Like... Stop it. Yeah, this Calvin Klein ad is hot. And it's funny because I didn't know this. He's like 5'7", which I love, like a normal size king.
Yeah.
Is he a short king? Is that considered short?
I guess not. 5'7" is normal size.
5'7" is like pretty, he's an average dude.
It's a normal size.
He's normal sized, I'd say. But yeah, it's just, you know, he definitely got ripped for that new movie. So he didn't look this fucking like ripped, but you know, when he was in Bear, but fucking hot. It's just, I'm into it.
I mean, this guy, he's got biceps like fucking Christmas ham.
Right?
This is, Trump would be being like, look at this guy. Wow. Like Christmas hams, folks. Ripped. But now what people are saying, they don't know where his belly button is.
That's what they're saying. People are like, where is his belly? I see his belly button.
Yeah.
It's just hidden between two abs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's just nestled in there.
Yeah, which is so funny because like sometimes you see it and the other time you stand up like the abs, this man has such little body fat that like his stomach is like cavernous down the middle.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
His anyway, like, hot face is like real, I don't know.
It's hot.
It's hot, like it. But it's all, no, it's just also, it reminds me of like butt. The joke of like, you know, models always look like they just smelled something bad. Like, like, huh? What is that? And there's one where he's pulling like his ass out of his underwear.
Uh-huh.
That I think I'm like, he's farting. That's what's happening.
He's letting a fart out the back.
Letting it out. Like,
oh, okay.
Yeah. That's a real bro move to do the like not fart through the underwear, but like fart on you.
Bro
direct.
Move, dude. That's classy. Cause like, bro, I don't like to get fart on my underwear.
Yeah, but I like
not
to
on
get
my Calvin Klein.
On
not on my Calvin's. I respect these. Now let me get the butt out a little bit in the back. Okay, I have class.
Okay, I'm trying to objectify him here. You guys are just turning it into.
Human being.
I'm trying to relate. I'm trying to relate. Yeah. That's
he makes me
doing.
Insecure, okay? I have to bring him down.
Just got to knock him down a couple notches. Make him humble.
How hard
you know?
Is
make him humble.
How this, hard?
No, he's killing it.
How
this
much
picture
work
is
does
like
it take,
all,
though?
Is like 50 feet tall on Sunset Boulevard right now.
Yeah.
Oh,
no,
is it?
Yeah.
I would take a picture.
You can see the belly button in that one for sure. Damn, how much work does it take to fucking look? Man. Anyway,
that's
look.
What I'm saying.
Sight gang.
That's how you could just crawl in that belly button and go to sleep, you know?
Hey, Jeremy Allen White fans or physiologists, help me so I could look like that for maybe 10 minutes and then I have to start eating Pizza Hut and things
you
like that.
You got to go back to the regular food. This is, I mean, he probably has such a strict diet and he probably has to work out like 3 times a day.
No, there's no
like,
way.
It's not
there's,
a fun
yeah,
life.
Body
this,
fat
he's
down
not
like
having
that?
Fun. You know,
I guess it all depends. Yeah, it's all how we, it's all how, look, different strokes for different folks.
That's what I tell myself. Really interesting that he plays somebody who makes food because he clearly is not enjoying it.
he's probably like one of those, like, he just does chicken and broccoli or something awful like
that.
Yeah. Right. All
like
day.
Not even the good part of chicken. Just
that. Yeah. But now he's riding this wave. So now it's like, it probably makes him feel good. Like, okay, it was worth it. Look at
yeah,
me. Like
I mean,
Klein
the
billboard.
Thirst this, comments. I've never seen thirst manifested in all these different ways in a comment section. So
it's happening.
You've done
you
something for.
This
language.
Is like reminds me of the Mark Wahlberg era, right? Like that was the last time somebody was in a Calvin Klein underwear ad that was like this
that
iconic,
made this much of a wave.
Like.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Oh yeah.
It is
like I was saying before we got on mic, like the iconic, like, let me just tease y'all with what could be below. That hasn't happened since Untitled, How Does It Feel? The music video by D'Angelo.
Oh, yeah, D'Angelo, yeah.
Yeah. He's bringing it back. He's bringing it back.
There's a comment that says the dick lines are deep.
The dick lines.
Someone says seasonal depression is cured. He doesn't even need a belly button, and we still slobber emoji.
Yeah, exactly.
I know that. I like this one too. Okay, what's stopping men from looking like this?
What's your problem? Why are you so jealous?
Yeah. Anyway, this is a nice piece.
And he's with Rosalía, right? I caught that.
He's not with Rosalía. Is he really?
Yeah. They were canoodling.
Canoodling.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Just saying.
Miles, where can people find you? Is there a work of media you've been enjoying? I know you have that one man show with the dragon puppet coming up.
The one man show, the dragon puppet. I come into a dining room near you. I will be sweating in a panic. Hopefully that my one dimensional style of entertainment for a baby does appeal to some of the heads of state. I'm telling you, people were in tuxedos.
It's a little
people were
Mulan
in fucking puppet. Tuxedos in this dream. That's and cute. It was like the walls wonderful. Were like gold, and I was going around being like, wah, 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 dragon.
Performance.
And people were like, it felt like that when Jay-Z did that art piece and shit with what's her face, Abramovich, like in the gallery and shit, and just
the
like
artist kinda, is present.
Yeah. Just like sort of like breaking my whole shit down. I'm like, yo, just watch this. I can make the dragon do a flip like that. Yeah. Okay, what else you got? You can find me at Miles of Gray, wherever they got the at symbols. I try and keep it consistent for you all. A tweet I like. Look, I opened up Twitter despite all the screams that I could hear in my mind. I'm like, this might not be the healthiest decision. But I found this tweet by at No Dumper that tweeted, tried watching The Sopranos, but the first word I heard was woke, turned it off immediately.
Woke up this morning. Wow.
So stupid. Love it.
Tweets I've been enjoying, just a lot of enjoying these, like, cunt mother that, like, Caleb Gaman tweeted, she committed human rights violations at Guantanamo Slay. Mark Hamill tweeted a picture of him with Natalie Portman and said, now I have finally met my mother, thanks to the at Golden Globes, because she played his mother in the original star.
Padme, yeah.
And I Sip Tea on Your Grave tweeted, I totally forgot she was Queen Amidala. I really thought Mark was doing the whole, she swung a light slaber in the Mos Eisley cantina, killing everyone before hopping on the mothership thing. The internet, still good. A lot of things.
For those things.
You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, is there a song that you think people might enjoy?
Yeah, you know, I was looking on TikTok, and you know, a lot of times you start hearing texts like, what is this? Okay, put me on to something new. This is a track by Joey Valance and Bray, and it's called Hooligang, all caps. And it's just like kind of has like one of those, like, you know, early odds kind of like MOP energy type beats, or just although their, like, lyrics are a little bit more, like, on the humorous side. So this is Hooligang. Check this shit out.
Hooligang. All right. We will link off to that in the footnotes. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning. Back this afternoon to tell you what is trending. And we'll talk to you all then. Bye.
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 Zeitgang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.